The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's see what God has to say as we pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word. Father, there's nothing more important than you. Nothing. And since you have written this word through authors, that's nothing outside of what you have said about yourself that make us want to know what you have written on a page. So move me, Father, have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, may you comfort us in your word today. Father, this is a real serious message to men, to fathers. May we answer the call. May we answer the clarion call to respond, because it's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to hear and believe. But your word says, if you hear, believe, and do. So today, Father, we want some do Christians also. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
We talked last week. I hope you learned something about the Bible last week. That if you don't take time to look at it and read it and understand it and think through it, you won't get the blessings that is there for you. And how many of us learned the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well was two different perspectives, one from her and one from Jesus. One from her is, what is this Jewish man doing down here in Samaria? When we say down here, it's because you got the elevation in Jerusalem. And you got to come, the elevation drops. So whether you're going north or south, from Jerusalem, Samaria is down here. Galilee is down here. What are you doing down here as a Jew? And then he asked her for water, asked her for a favor. We talked about that. And her perspective is, wow, all of a sudden I got a prospect. Because I believe her lifestyle was she was a prostitute. And the whole time, Jesus sees a lost sheep. And understanding that conversation, you get to the end, and she goes from seeing Jesus as a Jew, as a sir, as a prophet, then as the Christ. Amen? Amen? And then we see the greatest evangelistic outreach in all the world. Jesus Christ takes a prostitute, sent her back to town, and said, come here, man who told me everything I've ever done. Every man in town has been with that woman. Is out, coming down the hill to see what their name was called. Every woman is out there to see what man's name was called. Come on, girls, can I have an amen? Brings out the whole city. The whole city believes. They said, well, we believe because we have heard him, not just because we have heard you. And they asked him to stay two more days. Can you imagine a Samaritan city asking a Jew to stay two more days? We talked about you and your response to those that are outcasted, those that are not the loved ones, those that are not easy to get along with. And Jesus took his disciples and sent them right into Sychar, the city of Sychar. And the whole time they're there, they never ever once thought about lost sheep. It wasn't until the people start coming off the hill from down from Sychar down to the well to hear Jesus that he says, lift your eyes. The harvest is full, but the workers are extremely abundant. No, sir. You know this story?
Yes, sir.
I can't fool you on this.
No, sir.
Man, people shouldn't be. I didn't say nothing to you, Ken. I didn't say, not say anything to you. I'm already turning my back to you. Jesus, lock his tongue up. Can you imagine what must be going through their minds is that all the people are flowing down to hear the gospel, and they're concerned about eating and getting Jesus to eat. We need more workers because the fields are plentiful. The harvest is there. You know what? Most times, if anyone accepts Christ with us, it's because someone else is sold in their life. We get to reap. So be a blessing to someone else by sowing, will you? Because anyone who's after Christ, when you're witnessing to him, is the basis and the result of someone else sowing in their lives with the Holy Spirit. That brings us to Jesus after 2 days says, I got to go. I got to leave because I'm traveling from Judea and I got to get to Galilee. That brings us, can I get an amen? Amen. To verse 46. I want to read the entire story to you and again want to prove to you that we think we know the Bible because we've heard it, we've read it, but we really haven't understood it and studied it. John chapter 4, verse 46. Everyone has heard about the nobleman's son in the scriptures. Evidently, I've heard about it a lot because my page is all tore up. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child is going to die. Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to improve, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son lives, and he himself believed and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Can I say an amen to the reading of God's word? Do you guys know how much information is in verse 46? Verse 46 alone, you could write a book on. Shall we dive into verse 46 and see if we can come up with some info? Verse 46, and Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. First miracle Jesus Christ ever did was in Cana. At a wedding. I believe at his half-sister's wedding. Because they weren't at their place. They was in Cana. Not in Nazareth. Also, they are very concerned about running out of anything at the wedding. And Mary is most concerned. So she comes to Jesus. Talked about that in what chapter, remember? Chapter 2. They made enough wine for about 1,500 people to have one pint. That is a lot of wine. Can you say amen to the bastard? But... And we did this sermon, I think, talked about it on New Year's Eve. And we said, please, Don't go out after the church service and help yourself because you read about wine in the Bible. So that's not a small wedding, is it? And we all know that in the Old Testament time, poor people only dealt with poor people and rich people only dealt with rich people. It was a caste system. Jesus came to break that up. But at the wedding, you got over 1,500 people, maybe, for several days at the wedding, and you got to have some money to have a wedding like that for several days. So don't let everyone tell you how poor Jesus was and his family. Because sometimes I think people think, well, you know, poor is a virtue. Poor is basically bad circumstances at times and laziness. In our society, you can work. You may have to flip burgers. Can I have an amen, somebody? But at least you can chew on between flipping. Did I say that out loud? You know, there's so many of my friends that are high up in the hospitality business. That's another thing called hotels. Some of the best CEOs and managers of some of the biggest hotels started as doormen. Started where? Doormen. And they moved up because they got to know all the systems in a hotel if you're going to be a good manager. And if you hadn't got down on your knees and scrubbed toilets, you can't appreciate the people that's working under you that's doing it. Am I getting off? Are we on? Okay, we're on. All right. So, yeah, they're doing pretty good here. Disciples and Jesus and Judas handling the money. Did you guys know that he was the most trusted of all the disciples by the other disciples? He was the treasurer. He kept all the money. On paper, he was the best. In spirit, he was the worst. It's a shame that we pick most of the people off of paper for leadership positions. Getting enough information yet? This is the second miracle that Jesus is going to do. And the first two that he does is in Cana of Galilee. Isn't that amazing? People give all kinds of talks about how Jesus as a little boy and all the different things he did and all the miracles that was going on as he was growing up. The only thing we read about Jesus doing anything out of the ordinary was when he was teaching the Pharisees and Sadducees in the Sanhedrin when he was 12. 30 years, you don't hear but one thing about Jesus. And the first thing the Father says about Jesus is, "This is my son who I am well pleased." So it's very important about being instead of doing. Because if you are being a Christian, you don't have to worry about doing Christian things. Jesus came into Cana, where he made water and wine. So everyone kind of knows about Jesus. Can I have an amen? You think that conversation from the servants didn't get around and came about what they saw? That I was there. I saw it. I gave a man water. And by the time we got to the party, it was MD 2020. We know that's not true because it was the best wine. But some of us Christians, you know, we'll stretch it a little bit now. I had to get on Mark Webster at times. He'd be adding water to the blood of Jesus on communion day now. Some of you get that on the way home. That was funny right there, Jack. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Oh, my goodness. You got to see this information. If you don't get this, you'll never understand the story. A certain nobleman, otherwise classified as a basilicus. A basilicus. It was a certain basilicus that was in Capernaum. Anyone know what a nobleman that is a basilicus is? He is the top steward of Herod. He is the bookkeeper and the money spender for Herod. Anything Herod needs come through the basilicus, the nobleman. This man has power. He has influence. He has all of Herod's riches at his fingertip. Can't hear you. And all that power and all that money and all that influence, guess what God sends him? A sick son that none of his money can handle, none of his power can help, and none of his influence over anybody else can make a difference. So don't think that Jesus, if you belong to him, is not going to make sure the very thing that you have no control over is going to be the very thing that's probably going to come in your life to make you trust it. Anybody notice that? I've had people tell me, man, if I could just get enough money. God says, okay, you get enough money, I can give you something else. But you are going to trust me. If I can only get a new job. Now, you wouldn't say it that way, but you know what I'm talking about. You get that new job, what happens? New bills, new conflict. Jesus, man, is worse than, what's that, Fram oil filter? Remember that old commercials? You can pay me now, or you can, you may not remember what it was, but you remember that phrase. I think it's just better to pay Jesus now. Can I have an amen? But isn't it amazing that God, the one that's going to kill John the Baptist who is in this book, Herod, who's going to behead John the Baptist, number one CPA, bookkeeper, handling all of his money, he gives a need that he got to come to Jesus. Do we serve a risen Lord? Check this out. And this is all in verse 46. All in verse 46. We haven't even touched the other. We're going to have to sprint through the others because there's so much to deal with in verse 46. Because you don't understand verse 46, the rest of the story is not going to make sense to you. Anybody know what distance it is between Cana and Capernaum? It really is Capernaum. It's the village of Nam. It's the way you pronounce it. But we're in America. We say it differently in America. It's Capernaum. Anyone know the distance between Capernaum and Cana? About 20 miles, 18 almost to be exact, modernly today. About 11 miles the way the crow flies. But since he doesn't have a plane, he's got to travel on the roads to get from Capernaum to Cana. And he's traveling fast, and he wants to get there, get Jesus, and get him back. That is his goal. Now, let's check something out. 18 miles to 20 miles, according on if you stumble a couple of times. If he's walking, it's about a five-hour trip at the most. But since he's basilicus, since he is the one who controls all the money of Herod, since he got all kinds of influence, He's probably not walking. He's probably in a chariot with some well-groomed, healthy, in-shape horses. Not like our horses today. My horse now, man, is so old, he looks, and he can holler, see, you know, at times he'll look at me when I walk out to the barn, and he's just like, don't even look at that saddle. That's not what I'm here for. You better give me some grain. You better give me some alfalfa. Hey, don't be talking about no grass. You just get on my horse, man, and about 10 minutes, we both was tired. Can I have an amen? Because he never would settle down. He was always wanting to run. So I had to get him in the round pen and I run him for about an hour. He get all sweated up and he go, I'm too tired for you to ride me now. Could you put me back in my stall, brush me down, water me, rub me with some liniment, and give me some more grain? That's horses today. Back in Jesus' time, they was in shape. They was buffed. They were like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Boom. They could run all day, man. I was transportation. They was used all the time. So they survived at the most, taking it easy on a chariot and some fine horses was about 2 hours or less. 2 hours at the most. You're saying, well, Pastor, what does that mean? That means if you don't understand that, you never understand what happens in this story. Coming to know you, all about you. Hey, can I ask a question here in the next verse? Now, let's read it. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, you know, maybe he thought that there's nowhere in the world I'm going to be able to find Jesus if he's over there in Judea, because most of my influence is down here in Galilee. I don't know what the reason was, but he waited, and then he heard that Jesus was in Galilee. He went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. You know, something I've learned about this father, even though he has all the influence and all the power, he has all the finances at his fingertips, he is not too proud to say, I need help. You know what, something else I noticed? He didn't stay working and send his wife. Well, honey, you know, I know the baby's sick. I knew he's close to death, but can you handle it? Just let me know how much it costs. Can't hear you, church. Is he involved? That boy is so sick. He can't make the 18-mile trip. And the father don't know if he's going to make it back with Jesus in time. That's why he's in such a rush. You ever been on a rush and want to add Jesus in the in the situation? I am not getting any response to this sermon. Is that what it is, bro? Oh, okay. I thought you'd be just jumping for joy because we're all living. We'll be living with this boy. We handling it. When I talk about fathers, you guys got to remember now, I still got 4 kids. I did this morning anyway. So if I say anything about fathers, guess who I'm talking about? I think I'm involved in this process. Wow. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, I got to go get him. I need some help. Saddle up the boys. Give me your best horses that you have. Faithful fathers know when they need help. Faithful fathers know when the family needs help. Dads, if I ask you how things going at home, could you give me a fair assessment? Those of you who want to get married, I'm not going to even ask you. You don't know. Can't have an amen. People think, man, that when I get married, man, it's going to be this way. When I get married, it's going to be this way. You forgot that's two conversations supposed to be in that conversation. Can I have an amen? Ka-ching. Now, I hope if your son or your daughter is that sick, you are aware of it. There's some things come in the house sometimes, man, and I'm on the end of the whole discussion. Mom has had discussion. Mom has had discussion with each kid. Mom has had discussion with the women in a Bible study. Mom has had discussion with other accounts. And then sometimes I get it. And by the time I get it, it is structured. Can I get an amen, somebody? And then I walk in and say, oh, nope, it's going to be this way. Just blew it. Can I have an amen? I've learned over the years, yes, dear. That works. Unless it's not according to Scripture. And there's not a responsibility that she has to me as the head. But the head better listen to the neck, because the neck can turn you any way it wants to turn you. Verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, I love this. This man's coming down, son's at the point of death. I need help. Jesus, I have all my power. I've used up all my influence. I've used up every aspect of money that I can spend, and there's no results. You must come down with me. What's the problem with this man? Can anyone tell me what the problem with this man is? You know, most fathers have a tendency to think that distance makes a difference. And I love this one. For men, for dads especially. Well, it isn't the amount of time. It's the quality of time. See, that's coming from a man. You know where it comes from a woman? The amount of quality time. And ladies, y'all are pushy. You're kind of like Jesus at time. Get in your grill. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong side of the track. You will push the issue. This man thinks that distance is a problem with Jesus. He thinks 18 miles is too far for Jesus to work. Can't hear you. You got to come with me. My son's going to die if you don't come with me. Please. Jesus picking his teeth. Now, if I get in your chariot, ride back with you, that's 2 hours. Why do you want to wait 2 hours to get something done for your boy? Can I get an amen? Come on, man. Come on, we got to be there. Oh, we got to be. Distance maker. Distance is a big deterrent. Ah! That's why you got a lot of Christians that'll run over to some faith healer somewhere. Man don't cure anybody. man, we got to run to this healing meeting. Oh, man, with me running, I'm going to need some healing if I keep doing that. Can I have an amen? We got to have this healing ministry. We got to run. Folks, come on. Jesus does the healing. You know where he is? Inside you with the Holy Spirit. How far is that? Faith healers. You know faith healers get sick? Somebody say amen to that. Another thing, I know this is going to be a surprise to you. Faith healers die. Can I get an amen? They croak too. You know, we ought to have some 500-600-year-old faith healers. So old, the only thing they can do is keep praying that God keep them alive. But they die too. You know why? Because the gift of healing, which I haven't seen any in my lifetime, tell you that flat out. Biblically, I have not seen one gift of healing. I've seen the gift of healing. We can all pray for that. Can I have an amen? Jesus Christ died to give us all the power to pray for God to come in and heal. But the gift of healing, hadn't seen any. Not one person has the 7 characteristics of a faith healer. And you know the number one characteristic of a faith healer is? The person they are healing doesn't need faith. What did the guy say? You believe? You have faith? That's not a faith healer. Just go, eh. A guy called me one time. I know you guys get sick and tired of these personal stories, but they're funny sometimes. Guy called me up, man, wanted to come in and pray for me. Come to the church about 3 or 4 weeks. You got to watch out sometimes while people come to church. And, you know, we met, man, we're enjoying having fellowship. I mean, every Sunday he's there smiling, he and his wife. And he said, Pastor, I want to come to your church office and I want to pray for you. I said, man, oh, great. He said, I want to pray for healing for you. I said, oh, super. Never turn down prayer for healing. Never going to be disappointed if I'm not healed. It's just the way it is because God has done so much through this sickness. It's unbelievable to make me like Jesus. Nothing else could. You know why I know nothing else could? Because this is what I got. Amen. Can I have an amen? Yeah, I don't have it to guess. So the guy in the office, and he wanted to pray, and he asked the first question. He says, Pastor, do you have enough faith? I go, nope. He says, what? I said, nope. Don't need it. So what you mean? I said, you told me you got a healing ministry. You heal all kinds of people you pray for. Am I right? He goes, yeah. I said, I don't need it. Bible says you're supposed to have it. Now I want you to pray for me, and if I'm not healed, I got a problem with you. Didn't see him anymore. But I made him pray for me before he left. Am I a sick man? I am sorry, but the truth hurts sometimes. Can I get an amen? I love this. You got to come. My son's about ready to die. I don't know what to do. Please. That's 20 miles almost between us by the time we turn around and get out here and get to my house. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you would not believe, huh? Now, if you had come to me and I can heal your son, and you asked me to come with you to heal your son, I go, man, come on. Unless you see some kind of sign and wonder, you're not going to believe, huh? How would you feel? Would you feel like that this guy is uptight, prideful, stuck on himself? Come on. I'm not even Jesus, and people said that about me. I mean, right in the middle of this conversation, I don't like conversation like this with Jesus. You ever seen, right, just with the disciples, if you was a disciple, you would be confused. The man comes, hey, please, please, you got to hear my son, you got to come with me. Oh, you want some signs and wonders, huh? Guess what? I'm not going to give you any. I'm going to give you my word. Is that going to be enough? Guess what Jesus given every one of us? The same thing he gave that basilicus. The steward of Herod. Most powerful man in the area outside of Herod. He gave him his word. You see, if you can't believe in the word of God alone, and your comfort comes in the word of God alone, and your belief comes in the word of God alone, you are missing something. As a matter of fact, you are missing a lot. As a matter of fact, let's get deeper. You're missing everything. You cannot substitute the word of God for anything, and you think you're going to have rest. They say rest in Christ, not all the things you want. I am not going to do it. I am not going with you. Sorry, but this is what I will have for you. And before he can tell him, the nobleman speaks up again. He goes, listen, sir, come down with me before my boy dies. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is always concerned about what you need instead of what you want? I don't understand all the things that have been going on with you, Jesus. This is the nobleman in his statement. I don't understand why they think you're the nifty Nazarene. Why do you have the Jerusalem save all? Why you seem to be the man that's a big candy machine. I don't understand all the misunderstanding, but I do understand this. My boy is dying. And I came up here for you. And you're giving me an answer I don't want. Please come with me. We gotta go. My boy's gonna die. And I love what Jesus says. He says, you got to come with me. Jesus said unto him, verse 50, go by yourself. See it? No sign, no wonder, just his word. You want me to go with you? I'm not going. Bye. My son is going to die. Now you go home and you'll find out he's living. That is all Jesus gives him. This man is not even a believer. He's just a worker bee for Herod. Are we all understanding this message? What you need and what you're asking me for, it's taken care of. My word's enough. Everything's taken care of by my word. See you in the mañana. Bye. Can someone tell me how to say bye in German? Auf Wiedersehen. Bye. Chinese? I know we got Chinese speaking people here. How you say bye in Chinese? What? Say it real loud because I can't say that. Sai Jin. Sai Jin. Oh, I'm smoking now. Y'all thought I was speaking in tongues. Anyone in here from Africa? Don't be ashamed. Come on. It don't matter which country. How do you say by, what's your native tongue?
In Swahili,
Kwaheli. I'm smoking, huh? Kwaheli. See, Jesus would have said it right. Bye! I ain't going. You got my word? Can you believe that alone? I'm not good. You want a sign? You want a wonder? You want to believe? Nope. And guess what? There is no way he can check on his son. Can I have an amen? There's no way he can check on his son. No CNN. No Fox News. No cell phones. No television. No telepigeon. Nothing but what? The word of Christ. Well, let me see. And the man believed everything that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. I want to ask you a question. How tired do you think this man is? All the days he's been spending looking at his son dying. Comes to the last conclusion, knowing how Herod feels about Jesus, he said, forget Herod. I'm going to get Jesus. Herod didn't help my son. I'm going to get Jesus. And as he was now going down, now verse 51 and 50 tells me something. And as he was now going down, tells me that as time has lapsed. You go, well, you just, Pastor, you're adding to the scripture. You don't have to add to the scripture. You just need to read the scripture. As he was now going down, it seemed as though he took off when Jesus told him. Now, if he was walking, he leaves at 1, that's the 7 hour, he would be home by what? 6 p.m. at the latest the same day. If he's on a horse and chariot, he'd be home by when? No later than 3. As he was now going down, his servants met him, told him, saying, thy son lives. Then he inquired he of them, why is the servants out looking for him? He had a ride. He went up there in a hurry to get Jesus, and it's the next day. So the first thing goes to the servant's mind and the wife and the kid probably, because they want dad back to see the miracle. And he hadn't showed up. So something's got to be wrong with him. So they're out looking for him. Then he inquired them when they found him. When did he start improving? They said, yesterday at the 7 hour, his whole fever left him. What's the 7 hour in Jewish counting? 1 p.m. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son lives, and he himself believed and his whole house. He believed in the word of Christ, and then after he saw the miracle, he believed in Christ. And when a father believes in Christ, lives in Christ, walks in Christ, the family will follow. So dad, if you got a hard time with your family and your kids, I got something to tell you. Check your living. You know what? That man believed the word of Christ so much that he probably went and got a hotel room in Cana, slept overnight in Cana, and then started home to the next day. Can you rest in Christ with just the word of Christ? You're looking at me like, what time is it? Oh, man, we're over, aren't we?
It's okay.
Is it okay? Because I'm going to keep preaching right now because you need to see something. Can I show you something real quick? Turn with me to the book of Luke. Hurry. Y'all are holding me up. That's why I'm late. Might as well blame somebody else. Can I have an amen? Amen. We do it good. Luke chapter 8, you got it? Verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirit and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom 7 demons, that girl was full. Can I have an amen? Verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzas, Herod's steward, was traveling with him and giving them money for the ministry. Now, what in the world is Herod's steward, the basilica's wife, traveling with Jesus, supporting the ministry? I think Chuzas is this nobleman in John 4. And the nobleman's name is Chuzas, and his wife is Joanna. Somebody say amen. And if Jesus have saved their boy for a thank you, they're taking Herod's money and supporting the ministry. Is Jesus got a sense of humor? What? Are you doing the same? Fathers, are you faithful enough to go through enough to show your family you believe and walk with God? You don't have to worry about your family. It's just something about a godly dad leading their family. They follow. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to lead. You ought to come to Gideon's Posse sometimes. Maybe you'll get a couple of hints. Amen. Visitors, thank you for coming. Love to see you up front here. Love to see you up front the second. Say hello. Got a gift for you. Because I know this isn't the most comfortable place, but Mother's, look like it's going to be Mother's Day that the chairs are going to get here. So we can celebrate you ladies. And it'll be a lot more comfortable then, chair-wise, but not word-wise. So please go up and say hello to me so I can greet you and say hello to you, give you a gift. Father, thank you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.